And Taras thinks to himself, what's going on over here? I know I put it in this room. What is going on? Nobody ever goes into this palace. This place is so scary, nobody ever goes in. Why isn't it here? All of a sudden he thinks to himself, I wonder if that sneaky rabbi, the Maharal, played another trick on me. That sneaky rabbi? Well, Taras couldn't do anything about it. And they came out, and they had to all go home. And so, they go back to the church, Taras and the servant and his wife. And they're so sad. And Taras says, well, look, there's still hope. They still might find the child. But anyway, we have to get ready for our holiday. The yard is cleaned up. Now we have to go order the wine. And he says to the servant, go down to the basement, into the room of the wine, and count up how many bottles we have, and we're going to figure out how many bottles we have to order. You go down into the basement now. And the servant goes into the basement now, and his dog goes down with him. Because many times, wherever he goes, his dog goes. And as he goes in the basement, he starts counting the bottles of wine, and the dog, as soon as he gets in the room, he starts to go like this. He gets very excited, and he starts to smell the air. And you know, a dog has a koyach of smelling that is a million times better than a person. He can smell much more carefully than a person. And the dog is smelling something. And all of a sudden, he runs over to the corner of the room, and he starts to dig in the dirt. And the dog is digging, because this is a dirt floor, digging and digging, and the servant goes over, hey, stop digging. You're going to ruin Taras's floor. He'll get angry at me, because you're digging up his floor. And the doggy doesn't listen to the servant, and he keeps digging and digging, and the servant is trying to pull the dog away, and all of a sudden he sees there's something in the dirt buried there. Hey, what is this? He looks closely. It looks like a finger. What is this? A finger in the dirt? No. And the dog digs more, and he sees a hand. This is a hand. What is this, a big doll or something? And the dog digs more, and he sees an arm, and it looks real. And the servant sees that somebody is buried here. And the dog uncovered more dirt, and he saw the face. And the servant recognized his own son. And he figured out that Taras himself had killed the child. Now I understand. Taras is still angry because when the girl disappeared from the church, he blamed me and he says he's going to get me back. So this is what he did. He killed my child, and he blames it on the Jews. He thinks he can get away with it. But really, Taras himself did it. And he buried him in the church. And the servant now got very angry. He got very upset at this big lie that Taras had done, and this terrible thing. And the servant ran up the stairs, and he ran out of the church. And Taras calls back, hey, come back. Tell me how many bottles of wine before you go and buy it at least. And Taras didn't know what had happened. And the servant ran to the chief of police and he told him everything. And he says that Taras himself is the killer and he'll prove it because the child is buried under the church. And now the chief of police called his 300 policemen back. And they took locks and chains to go and arrest Taras. And now is coming to the church the chief of police and 300 policemen. And Taras looks out the window and he sees the servant and the chief of police and the policeman. And Taras thinks to himself, oh, They must have found the boy and the bottles, and they're coming to tell me. Ha ha. They found the boy and the bottles by the Jewish neighborhood, and they're coming to tell me. Ha ha ha. This is great. They found him. And Tadas rushes down the stairs, and he comes outside. And Tadas said, "What's going on?" And the chief of police says, "Tadas, we know who killed the child." Tadas says, "This is very good. What should be the punishment for this? Let's make a very good punishment." And the chief of police says, "Tadas, why don't you think of the punishment? Because we're going to blame whoever did it, and we're going to give him a very big punishment." Now, Tadas had in his mind that since the biggest bottle belonged to the Maharal, that's probably who they're going to blame for the whole thing, and they're going to punish the Maharal with the punishment that he says. And so Tadas says, "Well, to be killed is too easy. The one who did it should be sent to the North Pole, and he should be made to work on the ice and snow from morning till night, and he should only be given a little piece of bread until he drops dead from all the hard work and the freezing cold. That's what should be his punishment. He should pay for this." And Tadas had in his mind that they're going to take the Maharal to the North Pole. And the chief of police says, "Okay, Tadas, we'll do as you said. Men, put the chains on Tadas and take him to the North Pole." Tadas says, "What? What do you mean? Not me." "Yes, Tadas, we found the child. The child has been found in your basement." Tadas says, "Hey, impossible. It couldn't be." And they took Tadas downstairs, and they showed him the dead child buried in the basement. And Tadas starts to scream, "No, I didn't do it." And the servant says, "You did do it. You're trying to get me back, and you're trying to blame it on the Jews." And they put the chains on Tadas and the locks, and they schlepped him to the North Pole, and he worked from morning till night in the ice, and they fed him a little piece of bread every day until Tadas dropped dead in the North Pole. Yeah! Now, in the city of Prague, a long time ago, there were different streets, just like nowadays in a city there are different streets. Some streets have houses, some streets have stores, some streets have parks or buildings, and people walk on the streets, usually. But in the town of Prague, there was one street that nobody would walk on. People were afraid to go down the street. It wasn't the street where there were houses. It wasn't the street that was near the stores. It was on the outside of the town, near the factories. The factory is a big building where people work over there making things. And on one of the streets was a big, big building that had exploded. It had blown up and burned down to the ground. It used to be a gunpowder factory. Gunpowder is a kind of powder that burns and explodes, and it's used in guns and bombs and things like that. And one time, a long time ago, in that factory, somebody had made a spark of fire in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the whole factory exploded, burned down to the ground, and it was now a churban, just a broken down building. Now, why didn't anybody walk down that street? Because it was very spooky and scary to go down that street, that there were no other buildings, because any other buildings that were on that street had burned down when the factory burned down, because the fire was so big. It was very quiet. The wind was blowing through the ruins, and over there was just the big, big, empty building that was burned down and had fallen down. And some people said over there were shindalids. And it was scary to go there. And so when the tatis walked in the morning to work, because many of them worked in the factories on the outside of the town. They would go around, and they would go the long way. And they wouldn't go the short way down that street. They would go around different streets in order to get to the factories, which were on the other side of that street. Except for one man, and his name was Alexander. Alexander was a show-off. And he liked to show people, "I'm not afraid. I'll walk down that street. Nothing's going to happen to me. Anyway, I don't know if there's such a thing like Shindalids, you know." Alexander a little bit wasn't believing everything. Now, even the Torah says, by a churban, by an empty building that's all broken, you shouldn't go there. It is a place of Shindalids. Shindalids are like malachim that work for the Yetzirah. And the Torah says you should not go to one of these places, especially alone. Now, it used to be a lot more Shindalids in the world. At the time of the Baal Shem Tov, Baal Shem Tov got rid of many of these Shindalids. The time of this Maisa is before the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Because the time of the Maharal and the Goylam was before the Baal Shem Tov even. And so Kindalach, this Alexander, a little bit was a show-off, and a little bit making fun, and a little bit not believing certain things in the Torah, at least not so strongly, not so carefully. And he wanted to show everybody he's not afraid. So he said, on the way to work and on the way back from work, I'm going to go down that street, and I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm going to show you there's nothing to be afraid of. And the other people said, Alexander, look, everyone else goes around. You should also go around. Don't be such a big shot, and don't be such a big show-off. But he didn't listen. And in the morning, he walked down that street. And in the afternoon, the late afternoon, towards the evening, he walked home on that street. And one day, as he was walking on that street, he decided he's going to look into the churban, because he was always very careful not to look. Really, deep down inside, he was afraid. He didn't want to admit it to anybody. He didn't want to tell anybody, because once he started with this, he couldn't stop. And so, he decided one day he's really going to look in there and see if there's anything really to be afraid of. It was late afternoon. It was very quiet. The sun is going down. The wind is blowing. And Alexander is walking by the old blown-up gunpowder factory. And he looked inside. At first he thought, oh, there's nothing over there. It's just a fallen-down building with some dark places and some shadows. But all of a sudden, he saw what looked like a shiny yellow light. Did he really see a shiny yellow light? After all, the sun is going down. It's getting dark. It doesn't look like there's a fire in there. There looked like something that was shiny and yellow. And then it looked like two shiny yellow lights. And then it looked like four shiny yellow lights. And it looked like a lot of shiny yellow lights. Groups of two together, round, shiny yellow lights. And all of a sudden, there came out from the churban, from the fallen down building, a lot of big black dogs with shiny yellow eyes. And they started running towards Alexander. And they were not like any other dogs that he's ever seen in his life. They were big. And they were very scary. And they had these shining yellow eyes. Big black shiny yellow eyes. And the doggies started running towards Alexander. And he started running away from them. And when he would look around, he saw they were chasing after him. And he ran as fast as he could. And he got home. When he got home, he was huffing and puffing and schwitzing and out of breath. And his family asked him what's wrong. He didn't want to admit. He didn't want to tell that he saw anything. Because he also told his family, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no such thing to be afraid of over there. He didn't want to ever say that he was scared of anything. And he didn't say anything. He tried to forget about it. He could hardly eat supper that night. He could hardly fall asleep. He was nervous and upset. But he was very, very tired. Sure enough, Kinalach, as soon as he fell asleep, Alexander had a dream. And in the dream, again, he saw the same black doggies. And the black doggies were chasing after him. He looked around and he saw hundreds of them chasing after him. And all of a sudden in the dream, he saw that he wasn't running away. He was moving very fast, but he wasn't running away. And he looked down and he saw that he was riding on top of one of those big black doggies. He was riding one and the rest of them were chasing after him. And all of a sudden, the one that he was riding turned around and looked at him with his big yellow eyes, and he said, "You have to bark like a doggie. Start barking, or else." And he smiled with his big teeth, the doggy. He showed his big doggy teeth, and he says, "Or else, look at my teeth." Well, Alexander was afraid of those teeth. What could happen? So he listened to the dog, and he started barking. In his dream, he starts barking. And sure enough, he woke up his whole family, because they came in, they heard barking. They said, "What's going on? There's barking at the house?" And they found out the Tati was barking in his dream. And it sounded mamish real. They said, "What's going on? Tati, what's going on? What kind of a dream are you having?" "Well, just a dream." Well, Kinalach, every time he fell asleep, he had the same dream. Until he didn't want to fall asleep. Because when he fell asleep, he had the same dream. And in the morning, he was nervous, he couldn't eat. And since he was so tired, he couldn't go to work. And he stayed home. And since he was so tired, he tried to take a nap, and he fell asleep, and he had the same dream. "Oy, this is terrible. This has to stop. I can't go on like this. I don't know what to do." Finally, he told his wife what happened. And his wife said, "Look, maybe we should go to the doctor. He'll give you some medicine." They went to the doctor. The doctor gave medicine. It made him feel a little bit better. It made him feel very tired. And finally he fell asleep. But it did not help the dreams. The dreams kept coming back. The doctor didn't help and the medicine didn't help because those dreams were still there. Finally his wife said, "Let's go to the great tzaddik, the Maharal. There's something not just from your body over here. It's something from the neshama over here. And the Maharal for sure could help. The Maharal is close to Hashem. Something is wrong." And they came to the Maharal, Kinalach. And Alexander and his wife told the Maharal the trouble that was happening. And he said he was sorry that he had been a big shot. And that he had tried to show off in front of his friends to go down the street. But still now, other things were happening to him with these dreams, and he wanted it to stop. He only wants to have a good night's sleep and not to have these dreams anymore and these thoughts that he had. And the Maharal asked him, "Alexander, Alexander, I'm sure you have mezuzahs on your doors, right, in your house?" Alexander says, "Yes." The Maharal said, "Alexander, When was the last time you had your mezuzahs checked by a sefer to see if they're kosher? Because you know, according to Shulchan Aruch, every 3.5 years, that means twice every 7 years, you should get your mezuzahs checked. And if you want to really be careful, you could get it checked even more often to make sure that they're kosher to mezuzahs, because the mezuzahs protect your house. Not only that, they protect you when you're in your house, and they protect you when you're out of your house. Even you're far away from your house and you're going somewhere, the mezuzahs give you a shmira from Hashem, that He takes special care of you. And Alexander couldn't even remember the last time they had had their mezuzahs checked. The Maharal sent the shliach to go to the house to take off the mezuzahs, to bring him the mezuzahs. They should get checked. And the Maharal also asked Alexander, what about your tefillin? When was the last time you had your tefillin checked? The tefillin go on your head, between your eyes, near your brain, where your mind is, where your thoughts are, and across from your heart, where your feelings are. And also there's a koyach from the tefillin for the head and the heart to make them pure and halik. When did you get your tefillin checked last? And Alexander couldn't even remember the last time he had his tefillin checked. And they also brought the tefillin to check. And while they were waiting for the tefillin and the mezuzahs to come, the Maharal said to Alexander, what about your tzitzis? Let me have a look at your tzitzis. Do you check your tzitzis to see if they're kosher, that the knots are tied properly, and they have the proper length? You know, the tzitzis have to be a certain length. Well, Alexander showed the tzitzis to the Maharal, and sure enough, some of them were torn off. And this made them not kosher tzitzis. And some of them had shilas, if they're kosher or not. They brought the tefillin and the mezuzahs. Sure enough, kinalach, there were pasulit mezuzahs, and the tefillin were also pasul. Okay, the Maharal says, let's fix what we have to fix. He had to get new mezuzahs. He had to get new tefillin. He had to get new tzitzis. And the Maharal wrote a certain thing called a kameo, which is a certain kind of a, looks like a mezuzah, but it's not. It has certain halakhic names from Hashem. He had to wear it around his neck. And not only that, he said, for 7 days, Alexander will have to not sleep in his house. He will have to sleep in the Goylem's bed. And the Goylem is going to sleep in Alexander's bed. His family will have to move out for a while. The Goylem will sleep in Alexander's bed for 7 days. And Alexander will sleep in the Goylem's bed. And his family will stay by relatives for a while until this thing is taken care of. Sure enough, Alexander got the new tefillin, the new mezuzahs. He got new tzitzis. He was more careful on the Yiras Shamayim. And he wore this kameo that the Maharal had given him. And he slept where he had to sleep for a while. The thoughts cleared up. And this was the end of this maise from the Maharal. And the end of the whole Goylem maise is that the Maharal had the Goylem put away in Seamus. And there's a room in the shul of the Maharal in Prague. It's still there. No one's allowed to go into this room. And the Goylem is under a big pile of Seamus in that room until today. The shul is still there. The Goylem is still there, and no one's allowed in that room. Now later on, when people found out that there was such a thing as a Goylem, that the Maharal had made a Goylem, because I told you, in the lifetime of the Maharal, nobody knew. So a lot of people didn't believe it. They didn't believe it was true. And at that time in Prague, there was a Rav named Rabbi Yecheskel Landau. And he decided that he's going to go up and clear up the Machlokes and to make clear to everybody that there really was a Goylem and the Maharal had really done these things. Because a lot of people said, these mices are not true, they never happened, there was never such a thing. So the Rav, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, he gathered 10 Talmidim, he lit candles, and he had them say Tehillim. They were saying Tehillim the whole night. In the morning, in his talis and tefillin, he went up into the room that no one was allowed to go, and he did it l'shem shemayim, to make sure to tell everybody that there really was a goylem, that he really wanted to see if there's a goylem there. And he went into the room. He came out shaking and he told everybody, yes, he did see the goylem. There really was such a thing. Everyone should know that he saw, and he davened to Hashem that nothing should happen to him. Since then, no one ever went in that room except one time there was a boy who went in that room. What was the ma'aseh? The Rebbe Reshab once was traveling in Prague with his son, the Friedeke Rebbe. This was before the Friedeke Rebbe was the Rebbe. The Friedeke Rebbe was a boy. And the Rebbe Reshab was looking around the shul of the Maharal, and he noticed that his son was missing. Where is his son? Where is Yosef Yitzchak? And all of a sudden, he saw Yosef Yitzchak, who later on became the Friedeke Rebbe. He saw him coming down the stairs. And he says, where were you? Where was I? I was in the Seamus room. What? You went in the Seamus room? He had gone into the room also where the Goylem was. The Friedeke Rebbe went in the room where the Goylem was. And his father didn't say a thing. They went home. 3 months later, the Rebbe Reshab called in his son and he said, my son, you should know, for 3 months I'm davening to Hashem that nothing should happen to you for having gone into that room. You shouldn't have done it. But you did it. And for 3 months, I'm davening every day to Hashem that everything should be okay with you, that nothing should happen, that you went in that room, that you weren't allowed to go in. And so, Kinalach, since the time that the Goylem was put into the Seamus room, it only happened these two times, as far as we know, people went in. First time was Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, the Rav, later on of Prague, to clarify the Machlekes. And this was when his Talmidim were saying Tillim the whole night. And the second time was when the Friedeke Rebbe went in when he was a boy. He went into that room. And the Goylem is still there today. But you're not allowed to go in.